Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Happy Christmas.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now only 364 shopping days left until Christmas, and I think you know what that means. That means it's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and garbage all year round. Hi, my name is Joseph Wade. I am your host for this evening. Here with me tonight are my co-hosts, Johnny Five, the human robot.
Present.
And Mr. Bradford.
Adrian!
Brad, why you gotta do this to me? Anyway, it is 364 because today is Boxing Day. Welcome to Boxing Day. We hope y'all have had a lovely Christmas. And now we'd like to celebrate America's seventh or eighth favorite pastime by talking about one of our favorite boxing movies this week to celebrate Boxing Day. That is, of course, Rocky IV. The Russian Reckoning. I think that's like the Eastern European subtitle for the movie. Guys, you were supposed to stop me at some point, and you didn't stop me.
You're on a roll. I didn't want to stop you.
You didn't want to like ruin my steez, huh? All right.
God. We're gonna roll right into round two here. It is Boxing Day, but notably, this is also a Christmas movie. So it works on both.
Bizarrely, against our actual like plans, this is in fact a Christmas movie.
Also, like both those things are irrelevant because I just wanted to watch some jingoistic bullshit for July and Christmas.
Yeah, is this movie ever a product of its time?
Absolutely. So we're just killing all the birds with one stone this week on the podcast.
So, yes, July and Christmas. This is Rocky IV. It was released in 1985, if you could not tell, during, I wouldn't say the height of the Cold War, but very much still Cold War situation. What do we got?
I'd say it's the height of, like, the 80s Cold War panic.
So, Reagan's in office, right?
Yeah, Reagan is in office for term two. Mm-hmm. And he's really ramping up his rhetoric against the USSR.
Gorbachev, tear down that wall. When was that?
The tear down this wall speech was in 1987. So this is okay. This predates it, but just barely.
Just barely. Rocky broke down. Sylvester Stallone broke down those barriers for Reagan to make this speech.
Yeah,
that shows you
how
much I know about history. When was the Cuban Missile Crisis?
63, I think.
So this is post-Cuban Missile Crisis, pre-Gorbachev tear down that wall, reunification of Germany. Absolutely pre-9/11 somehow. That was in the early 90s, right? Because I think I had been born by the time Germany had been reunited.
The Berlin Wall? I think that was like 89 or 90.
Okay.
The USSR didn't collapse until 1991.
Berlin Wall was 89, I think.
Okay. But this is post-Cuban CMC. CMC Music Factory.
This is well into like Gorbachev era, when Gorbachev was just like, come on, can't we all be friends and just make a shitload of money for each other?
And this movie kind of goes on that, doesn't it?
There a little bit, yeah.
It does go there. All right.
Hey, quick question. There is a character in this film that looks like Gorbachev. Is it supposed to be Gorbachev?
Yes.
I mean, I think so, probably, right?
Okay. It is an unnamed stand-in who has the exact same political position as Gorbachev did. So
did you guys know that Gorbachev was a main character of a video game?
I know he's featured in pinball machine Taxi.
There is that, which is amazing.
I know he's featured in Street Fighter 2.
Is he?
Yeah, he dances with Zangief when you play the Zangief ending.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
But what are you talking about?
There is a Japanese Game Gear game. It's a puzzle game. It's kind of like Pipe Dream, and it's called Gorby's Big Plan, where you have to like move these panels. I'm not making this up. You have to move these panels around to take meat from like an entry point to an exit point to give it to the workers. No. It's called Gambare Gorby, which is like, it's just, go for it, Gorby. It's amazing. I think Gorbachev's the sub
mean bean machine.
Yeah, pretty much. It's that's your fun video game fact for the day. Look it up. I think it's called Gambare Gorby. So
I am looking for it so hard right now.
We can put it in the. I will absolutely get. Okay. It, and we can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, do that. Do that.
That's your to sort of bring in and circumvent video game chat for the day. All right. There's your fun, somewhat related fact.
Great. Great. I'm actually like thrilled that that exists. I want to see more of it. Anyway.
Oh, I'll do video game chat real quick. I just have two recommendations. If you would like to just Joe's ignore side. Your. If you like to just ignore the present, just regress into childhood, I have two very strong recommendations for it.
Oh, God. Please hit me with them.
Right now, Final Fantasy VII is on sale for $5 on PS4. And
okay, what else you got?
Final Fantasy Tactics War of the Lions is on sale on Android for $5.
John, why are you hating?
And if you want to play a better game than both of those games, Final Fantasy IX is also on sale on PS4.
Guys, hey, are there any non-Final Fantasy video games in the world?
Yeah, absolutely, because Final Fantasy is a garbage franchise.
Okay, well
I said it.
I got Brad on my side, John. What else you got?
Y'all a bunch of fucking babbies.
Okay, so anyway, going back to the topic at hand tonight, I have to start this conversation by asking, what is your relationship with the Rocky franchise?
Do you really want, I can go into it. So I had seen Rocky 1 at some point, but my real relationship with the Rocky franchise is that our elementary school had a program called Pace Setters.
Okay.
Now, Pace Setters was a ceremony that was carried out every semester at our elementary school, mind you, to recognize those students who had gotten good grades. So, regardless of whether or not this was akin more less to a recognition, but recognition, but more to a public shaming, because regardless of whether or not you had gotten good grades, you went to the Pace Setters ceremony.
Okay.
But the most notable thing about the Pace Setter ceremony is every time our principal would get up in front of the school, every single time, not changing what he was saying, our principal would tell the story of the first Rocky movie and relate that to getting good grades. And he never once changed his exact speech. I don't remember if he was reading off of a card, but wouldn't you want to switch it up at some point? So my first experience with the Rocky franchise was actually through hearing my principal relate the plot of Rocky in my elementary school 8 times in a row. And then I eventually saw the first Rocky film. And now I've seen the fourth Rocky film.
So that means you've not seen 2 or 3 or 5 or 6 or 7.
Correct. There's Wowzers. A seventh.
Yeah, the movie that came out, I think, just Creed.
About Apollo Creed? Okay.
About Apollo Creed's son, no less.
Sum up my perception of the Rocky movies, is the best way I can put it.
Have you actually, yes or no, have you seen these movies?
I've seen 1 and 4 now.
Hey! Okay. You're in good company.
Okay.
So my impression is that Rocky 1 is actually a good movie, and it's really shocking that Sylvester Stallone was involved with it, especially that he wrote it. Because, like, it's like, are you sure Stallone wrote it? Because this movie's actually good.
It was a good movie.
Because it's a movie about, like, just a nobody, and nobody expects him to even, like, everyone expects him to basically die in the fight, and the fact that he goes the fucking distance and gets a split decision against him is, like, that's the victory for him, you know?
Right, yeah.
He doesn't have to win because he defied all logic and expectation. And then the second movie is like, yeah, but what if he won?
Yeah, there's the rematch.
And then the third movie has Mr. T for some reason.
The third movie is like, well, hey, what if Rocky won and then became a superstar out of it? And how would that be?
Does the third movie introduce the robot?
No.
Or is that an original addition to the fourth film?
When I was watching it on Amazon Prime, it kept bringing up little trivia facts. I think it was just pulling from IMDb. It was like, the robot was an addition to the script when Sylvester Stallone saw the robot at some party and was like, holy shit, I gotta get that in my movie.
Holy hell. The trivia.
The characters spend so much of the movie just being like, yeah, it's a fucking robot over there. Wow. Like, that's what the script told them to do.
Man, I want to watch the version you watch where you have fucking pop-up trivia pop-up video trivia going on in front of your Amazon Prime. I did watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and it kept like popping up all the actors as they appeared, which is kind of neat. But
that's kind of neat.
It was doing that, yeah. And then it's like some, I think Amazon Prime called it X-ray, and it kept popping up trivia facts as well in the corner. Or maybe it was just when I moved the mouse.
Oh, okay. See,
had the overlay come up.
I was watching this on Hulu, and I got no such action. So
yeah, I watched it on Prime on PS4, and it didn't come up. Thanks, Bezos.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for that wonderful innovation you got there. So anyway, Rocky's 2, 3, 4, and number 6, Rocky Balboa, were all written and directed by Sylvester Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
And one was just written by him, right? But not directed?
Yeah, the first one was written by him, and
he won a fucking Oscar for the writing, right?
I believe he did, yeah. So, I mean, he at least, say what you want about Sylvester Stallone, he at least does kind of know what he's doing as a filmmaker. Until it comes to things like Rocky IV.
Did he write First Blood? Yeah, he was the co-writer of First Blood as well.
Yeah, he's actually written a whole bunch of films.
Yeah, so like, and not only that, but he wrote like two very, very like nuanced and like good movies in First Blood and Rocky, and then just shit all over them himself with the fucking sequels.
Pretty much, yeah. And then in a bout of like 80s hubris, he was going to star in Beverly Hills Cop. And then when they decided to go with Eddie Murphy, he said, well, fuck you guys, and then rewrote it himself, and that's why we have Cobra. Hey, Brad, that's not Beverly Hills Cop.
Wait, that's not Beverly Hills Cop?
What is it? That's Herbie Hancock's Rocket.
That's Rocket by Herbie Hancock.
I thought that was the theme to Beverly Hills Cop.
No.
The theme to Beverly Hills is...
In my defense, they sound very similar.
So now we owe Harold Faltermeyer like $5 for that,
and Herbie Hancock like 10 cents. But you know what? I'm gonna put Rocket in the show notes because Rocket's an awesome video.
Hell yeah!
All right.
So hey, how about that Rocky IV, guys?
The tale of the wettest, two wettest, slippery boys around.
Did you know that boxing was a water sport? Because I didn't.
Jesus Christ. This whole movie may as well have taken place in a shower.
My favorite part of any boxing movie are the scenes where it's just clearly the actor standing there and a fist comes off the side of the screen and punches them and fucking sweat flies everywhere. Where it's just like you had to have this guy just stand still and get punched for this recording.
No joke, I laughed out loud every time they did one of those shots like overlaid where they, you know, it's like 50% transparency and then just fucking either Sylvester Stallone or the guy who plays the Russian, or I don't think they did it with Carl Weathers, but just fucking getting clocked and then the entire screen fills with sweat.
Just like the stylized shots of them just like spitting blood. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes me wonder what like a Sam Raimi boxing movie would look like, because like one of the things that Sam Raimi loves to do is torture his actors from off screen. Like for comedic effect, like in the Spider-Man movies, whenever like shit's getting thrown at Spider-Man, it's always Sam Raimi from right behind the camera throwing shit at him, like himself.
Really?
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
I'd love to see a boxing movie where Sam Raimi is just like throwing haymakers from off camera at his boxing actors. It would be amazing. All right. So hey, we have
played by Dolph Lundgren for reference.
Yes, the Russian
Dolphin Lundgren. Didn't you have a Steam username at a time that was called Dolphin Lundgren?
My username at one point was Dolphin Lundgren, and it was a picture of the dolphin from I think the game UN Squadron.
Yes. Yep.
Or no, I think it's from Aerofighters 2. In Aerofighters 2, you can play as a dolphin that wears a little fighter pilot's cap, and it's the greatest thing ever.
It's an excellent game. All right,
and was Drago's wife played by Brigitte Nielsen, who was, or at the time was, or was about to be Stallone's wife?
What a weird, unnecessary character.
Yeah, like his wife slash hype person slash
it's one
publicist?
Of those things where if it wasn't a 90-minute movie that was 60-minute montages and music videos, there was like more story to explore there, but they got rid of it for in exchange for having flashbacks to fucking 20 minutes earlier in the goddamn movie.
Yeah. This movie actually starts with the last scene from Rocky III.
I was about to say, like, yeah, that was I remember that as being the end of Rocky III, not the beginning of Rocky IV.
Right. And well, it turns out it's both. Because Rocky and Apollo Creed are super best friends forever now. And
yeah, and then there's a scene midway through the movie where Rocky is just having some man thoughts when he's driving his expensive ass car around. And it's just flashbacks to the first three movies, and also flashbacks to the earlier parts of this movie.
So, where does Rocky's ex Apollo rank on the greatest bromances of film?
Ooh,
there's a question for you.
You know what? That should probably be a question for our listeners, because they've got more time to mull over this than we do.
So
we have
get
a show
at
to
us,
do, guys.
Yes, get at us on Twitter or Facebook or email. Let us know where you think send us a telegram / telegraph / singing telegram of where you
Venmo
think.
Me $20.
Only if you want. That is not that no purchase required to enter.
It's not really a demand or anything. It's just an invitation. If you want to Venmo me $20, I'm not going to say no.
Okay. Actually, yeah, Venmo John $20, but also tell us where you think it ranks in the greatest bromances of cinema. But anyways, I guess we should get into the plot synopsis.
Yes. So Russia has been
So Russia is a place that exists.
Russia has been giving people some trouble for a long time now and must be ended. You said plot.
Especially if you live in 1985, but also if you live in 2017.
I will wrap this movie up pretty quick, because there's really not that fucking much to it.
Do it.
Okay, so when it starts out, we have Apollo and Rocky that are just both pretty much resting on their laurels. Apollo is straight up retired. Rocky is the champ and has more money than God, basically. He buys Polly a robot for his birthday because Polly is somehow still a character in this fucking franchise. Polly is the biggest piece of shit imaginable.
Polly's the worst. Was Polly in one?
He's been in all of them.
Polly was straight up like a villainous character in one too, wasn't he?
Yeah. Let me just straight up say this right now. I went on a roller coaster of emotions with Polly, because at the beginning, yeah, Polly's a huge piece of shit. But at the end, oh, I actually kind of love Polly.
So. Polly's reading hentai, right?
He's reading, like at the very least, his Tijuana Bibles, because he's talking about
that's
comics
what,
and
it improves your fertility. He said it improves your fertility. Yeah, I know it was probably actually Tijuana Bibles, but like straight up in more than one scene of this movie, he mentions his special comics.
Yeah,
which are comics with titties in them. So Polly confirmed he loves
hentai and art.
He loves the hentai. It's called hentai, you Philistine.
Excuse me, we call those comics.
You anyway, uncultured
so then,
swine. All right,
so
go
then,
ahead. Sorry.
Apollo's just hanging out at the pool watching Church's Chicken commercials because, like, what the hell?
Let me just say that a shirtless Carl Weathers throwing tennis balls to somewhat interested dogs while commercials play in the background is kind of a salve for my soul in 2017.
You know what? It's like he's already living in Arrested Development.
Anyway, it comes on TV some shit about this Russian boxer who is an amateur Russian boxer, but pretty much the best boxer in Russia, who wants to come to the U.S. and challenge the champ, who is Rocky. And there's already been discussions at this point at Polly's birthday party where Polly gets a fucking robot. I don't know if we mentioned that. Christ. Where Apollo is feeling like he can't retire. He can't just live easy. He's like, basically, I'm a boxer. I need to be punching people and getting punched by those same people. Like,
this is kind of like Apollo's last chance to prove himself, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it goes beyond, like, I need more money and this is my job. It's more like, I don't know what to do with myself if I'm not fucking swinging hands, pretty much.
Right.
So he agrees to challenge Drago to an exhibition match, which is the most ostentatious, gaudy bullshit imaginable in Vegas. James Brown is there singing Living in America, like, in its entirety.
this right here is probably the one scene that everybody knows from Rocky IV, because, like, everybody posts this scene on the 4th of July as, like, you know, hey, isn't American jingoism and ostentatiousness so great? Look at James Brown dancing to this stupid song. Watch Carl Weathers dance around in an American flag suit.
So, if we want to take this movie to Santa's Workshop and make it a better movie, they almost had the idea of, like, Drago just being pretty much Drago is more or less treated like a fucking, like, show horse throughout this movie.
Yeah, he's basically a human machine.
They address that at the end of the film a little bit.
If they had played it up more, it would have been a lot better, in my opinion. Like, there is something to be had there of the fact that, like, Drago is basically just a puppet for these, for, like, the sports scientist Russian guys. But
the Politburo.
And the Politburo. But they basically make him, like, a willing puppet, and it's like, no, there's more to be had there. Like, you could make him be an actual real character with emotions and feelings who's just being dragged around by his fucking, like, handlers, basically, because he's just a shiny piece of meat to them. They stop short, though. They don't go with it. And what I was getting at with that scene is, the scene is just cuts of James Brown jumping around like a jackass, with Dolph Lundgren just looking around like a frightened horse, basically.
So, I think that would be the best way to improve this movie, is to sort of address Drago. Drago. I mean, that would be a really good angle to take. Is he's a human being? He's a character. How does he feel about this? And they get the tip of the iceberg, like, right there at the end, where that dude comes and yells at him.
Yeah,
where he's like, no, motherfucker, I'm doing this for me.
Because they're at the end, they're all yelling, like, what are you doing? We told you to beat him in two rounds. Why are you still fighting him? You're useless, type shit.
No, I was just gonna say, I think there's an opportunity for, like, some character development with Drago, and they only barely touch upon it, and they could develop it more, because in that scene where, like, he's entering the, you know, the stadium and the ring in Las Vegas, it's like the whole thing is alien to him, and he's just looking on in, like, dumbstruck awe at, like, the gaudy ostentatiousness that is the United States. And then you sort of juxtapose that with the way that they introduce the match when Rocky goes to Russia, and it's much more nationalistic, it's much more reverent, and it's much more like, you know, we are the Soviet state, look at us and our Superman, and we're playing the national anthem. And it could have been a moment for Drago to see the culture clash, basically, and then decide for himself what it is that he wants.
Right. I think it would have worked a lot better as a movie if Drago was just more, like, laid back and easy going. He'd be like, I just want to box and be on TV, you know, and then have his handlers be the ones who are like, no, you are going to be the Soviet fist, basically, you know, you are going to punch what we tell you to punch and punch how we tell you. You know, really, really play up the fact that he's just getting jerked around just as much as anyone else is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can we talk for a second about 4th of July?
Yes.
Yeah. In my theory about 4th of July, when you mention people posting this, I feel like it's less relevant in 2017. I definitely didn't do it in 2017, but I figured out the secret to the 4th of July, which is you fucking lean into it so hard. Hi kitty.
Felix
so
is very restless right now.
Hi Felix. So back in the early tens when I was in grad school, I think Joe came to a couple of these events. I would host a 4th of July party where I figured out the secret to 4th of July, whereas you do it as ironically and lean into it as hard as humanly possible. I used to play John Philip Sousa marches and set off fireworks and grill hot dogs. I remember the moment that 4th of July meant more to me is when I was shooting off a bottle rocket, which is illegal in our home state, mind you, which I had brought from another state, with a bratwurst in one hand, a beer in the other. I think
what
I had the bratwurst.
The bottle rocket?
Sorry, I had so the bottle rocket was in a pipe that I had set into the ground, and then I had a beer in one hand, I had the bratwurst stuffed in my mouth, and I had the lighter in the other hand. John Philip Sousa music was playing, and a thunderstorm was beginning to rage above us. that is my quintessential 4th of July moment. Now I feel like it's kind of played because of how crazy the right has gotten with their bullshit, for lack of a better term. I don't lean into it as much anymore, but Hopefully when this all settles down...
It's hard to do that, it ironically when people are doing it unironically.
Exactly. But I hope if and when this all settles down, those of you that are listening in the States can take this as a piece of advice. Or those of you listening in other countries who may not feel super strongly about your own nation, on your Independence Day, just lean into it as ironically as possible and you will have a good time. That's all I can say about that.
Basically, yeah, just do it as hard as you can for one day and then go back to normal the next day.
Pretty much.
Get it out of your system that one day. That's what one day is for.
It's kind of a lot of fun, actually. It was a lot of fun.
So were we talking about a movie?
We are talking about a movie, but I'm going to get a beer.
Okay. I will plot on then. This entire first part of the movie, Apollo has been really playing up this, like, I'm doing this for America, blah-de-blah-de-blah thing. But it's very clear that his entire motivation is, I'm not too old for this shit anymore. I'm not too old for this shit yet.
Right.
And he gets in the ring, just absolutely refuses, tells Rocky, you don't fucking throw down the towel for any reason. And then he gets punched to death.
Like, that's not a metaphor. That's not, like, overstating it. He gets murdered in the ring by Ivan Drago. And Drago gives that line, if he dies, he dies. And
which he should not have given. One of his spokesmen should have given it.
Yeah, I feel like Drago should not have had any dialogue until the very end of the movie.
He should have only had dialogue at the very end. Like it should have been like a mystery. Does he even speak Russian, let alone speak English?
Right. Like the first words out of his mouth should have been to Rocky at the end, where he goes, "I must break you," because like that line is so good, and it, like delaying that gratification would have been amazing. But
overall, I feel the movie would have been much better served if Drago's motivations were clearly like, I am doing this for myself. As soon as I get on the news, then I can get the fuck out of this country and have my own goddamn life. Stop being, first off, stop living in the fucking Soviet Union. And second off, stop being a fucking like steroid puppet for the goddamn Politburo to impress everyone.
It's amazing how relevant this continues to be, given that the entire country has just been
banned for the Olympics for doping.
How about that?
Yeah, that too. Oh, boy.
It's also funny. When I lived in Germany, I gave a friend who was going to Russia 20 euros and just said, bring me back something Russian as hell. And they brought me back a flask with the KGB logo on it. Uh-huh. And also an authentic, like, 80s, like, Russian, it was like a Navy hat or something like that, that just had a random assortment of fucking, like, pins on it. Because, like, the Soviets fucking loved, like award, like, participation pins and shit like that, you know?
I thought you were going to say he brought you back, like, a vial of anabolic steroids, but okay.
But all the pins on the hat, there were a couple of pins about, like, actually, like, naval service or something like that, but then most of them were just, like, good at track, 1984, and shit like that, you know?
ate the most turnips, 1976.
Like, it was very much heavily played up, this idea of, like, we are good at sports because we are good at being human, basically.
It's like just this weird idea that behind the Iron Curtain, they were just having field days every day of the year.
You joke a little bit about that, but that's kind of like a big thing, is like sports days in the Soviet and to a certain extent, just any sort of communistic governments. Like sports day was a big deal in China as well, from what I could tell. From what my wife has relayed to me, it's kind of a part of the culture, really.
It serves a good way to get people's like competitiveness out of their systems without just straight up giving them money for it.
Yeah, there's that.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
And then it's sort of seen as like this very equal, you know, this very egalitarian sort of thing where it's like, oh, everybody can do sports. Wow. Yeah,
it's like you know, there's nothing stopping you from doing sport. You just have to try. You know, it's a meritocracy ass bullshit hiding in it. Then there's Apollo's funeral, and then
I was gonna say, almost immediately Rocky decides I've got to fight this guy.
Yeah, and
because we only have 90 minutes.
Yeah, and speaking of 90 minutes, there's a scene deleted from this movie that explains like what the fuck's going on, because. What they don't really, they talk about later in the movie, but what happens is Rocky goes to like the boxing commission and they refuse to sanction the fight at all, like in Russia, in US, anywhere. And so he's like, okay, well then, you know, I'm relinquishing the title because I got to punch this guy so bad. And they kind of hinted at the movie, which is why Adrian's mad at him, because it's not just like, you know, oh, I'm going to go punch this Russian guy. It's like, I'm throwing away my entire fucking livelihood to go punch this Russian guy.
Right, and Rocky's argument is like, well, you know, I can't change. I'm a boxer. This is what I do. I have to do this. If not for Apollo, then just for me. So the entire middle act of this film is training montages and music videos, like, and nothing else almost.
Oh yeah,
it's the montage of Rocky driving around at night, thinking about his friendship with Apollo Creed to the song "No Easy Way Out," and then it's I guess the montage of Rocky and Paulie and his trainer Duke going to Russia, and the Russian officials like take them out to live in fucking Dr. Zhivago's house for a week.
Rocky requests to live out there.
Okay, so he requests to live out like away from like the prying eyes of whoever. Is that what it is?
He basically wants to do like it, again. It's the thing that's never explained. It's just kind of hinted at, because even though it's a 90-minute movie, they deleted a bunch of fucking content apparently in order to put more songs in, I guess. But yeah, he basically requests like, you know, no, I need some fucking back to basics ass training, which is supposed to be a contrast with Drago's, like, everything Drago is doing is like. Is like being
super scientific.
By like 30 scientists,
like Drago's training is basically an ad for Gold's Gym, and then Rocky's training is basically chopping wood in the forest. And
he has two like Russian guys. I think it's supposed to be like they're supposed to be an intimidation thing, where it's like, you know, yes, we're spying on you at all times. But it's like, nah, it's more he has bodyguards because it's just some fucking famous American dude just hanging out in Russia in the middle of fucking nowhere. Yeah, he better have some fucking, like, escorts.
Yeah, that makes sense, but that doesn't stop him from, like, trying to shake them at every opportunity.
Yeah, which they're driving Mercedes because, yeah, that's what Russians did.
That's what Russians
have. Is they drove German cars.
There is one scene where Rocky, like, shakes them, and it's supposed to be, like, this weird victory, and it's like, not really.
Which would have been funnier if in the montage they kept trying to keep up with the car, then about halfway through they gave up and just started running along with him. Like, they just started training too.
They actually started training him, yeah.
Yeah, they're just like, okay, if you're gonna fucking run up the mountain, I guess we have to run up the mountain after you, whatever, you know.
They make it out to be, like, this malicious thing, but, like, these watchers, these observers, never say anything to him. It's like, all right, okay.
And at first, I thought they were, like, watching him to spy on him to, like, see what kind of, like, secret American training he's doing. And it's like, he's chopping wood and he's running through the snow. Like, what secrets are they going to glean from this guy that they're going to tell to Ivan Drago, who's, like, living inside a machine?
They're there to intimidate him. Like, they're not there to, like, report. They're just there to watch so he knows that he's being watched.
I suppose. Yeah, but then there's that triumphant scene during the first training montage where he shakes them like they're almost literally running him down in their car as he's like training and jogging, and he shakes them and he starts running up the mountain, and it occurs to me, oh, because we can't have him running up the city steps like in the first three Rocky films, so he has to climb a fucking mountain.
And absolutely, this entire montage is intercut with scenes of Drago doing basically the exact same training except in the lab, pretty much. Like, he's on an automated treadmill that just automatically inclines and shit like that.
Yeah, he's on a Bowflex, and Rocky is just, like, chopping wood.
So, Joe, tell me this, because you've seen the first three Rocky films. In Rocky 2 and 3, does Rocky run up the steps of the Philadelphia Library as well?
In 2, he does, and he's got, like, a cadre of, like, children and admirers and odd-lookers. I've seen 2
where he does the exact same thing from 1, but, like, he has a bunch of fucking fanboys now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I honestly don't recall in 3, but I know in 3, because you see it in this movie, there's the montage of, like, him and Apollo running along the beach and, like, hugging each other for some reason.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like some fucking summer place shit.
Yeah.
So at one point in this movie, Rocky says he's gonna take Draco's heart. Remember that? Or maybe it's not Rocky.
Yeah, when Duke says, like, hit him in the heart, like, hit it, like, take his heart, hit
his heart. That is an exact line from the RPG Persona 5, for those of you out there listening. So Rocky Balboa is officially a Phantom Thief now. I just wanted to make note of that to bring video game chat back in.
Oh, before we get to Russia, there's a little bit of, because there has to be some sort of fucking, like, conflict or tension in this movie. Basically, Adrian pretty much tells him, like, if you decide you need to go throw away your career to go die in Russia, then that's your fucking business. It's not mine. I'm staying in the nice house.
But she doesn't.
Yeah, she shows
eventually
up.
Eventually, she realizes that she is the woman and therefore wrong, so she shows up.
She does show up, which also in this cabin in the middle of what is supposed to be Siberia.
I was fucking ripping on this movie for just treating Adrian like shit. Like, her basic motivation is like, oh, she has to be wrong because she's the fucking woman, and Rocky has to be right.
Oh no, it's totally misogynistic. It's not great.
Yeah. It's kind of the arc for the entire series, movie
for that,
basically.
Not just doing it myself.
Right. I'm mostly upset at this movie for the geography errors.
Oh yeah, Brad, you know a lot about geology. Hit us with it.
This beer is really fucking good, by the way. 6.8 alcohol by volume.
I am drinking 7.4, motherfucker.
What are you drinking?
You want to take?
I'm drinking a 5.6, boyos.
What are you drinking? Here's a can. Here is our first official Christmas Creeps can check. What are you drinking, Joe?
Sam Adams Winter Lager, warm and festive.
Nice. What are you drinking, John?
I was leaning towards getting that. Instead, I got Do I want to say what the local brewery this is from is, or?
Yeah. Well, now that you said that it's local, just go with it.
Yeah, it's Natty Greens. It's Red Nose Winter Ale.
Oh, that's the best.
Can I tell a fun little story about Natty Greens really quick?
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
So I live in a different city than these boys. I live in a metropolitan area, and I went to one of my favorite local dive bars, and lo and behold, they had a beer from near where we lived, and it was Natty Greens Old Town Brown.
Oh, God.
Now, I make no mistake about not really caring much for Natty Greens, especially Old Town Brown, but I felt I had to have it being from there originally. I had this beer in the middle of this dive bar, and it's like, I usually have a couple of beers every time I go, and I have no problem. I had Old Town Brown. I was fucking about to yarts to the point. I had to leave this bar, like, three drinks in after having this Old Town Brown because it was so fucking disgusting.
Look, I had vouch for Natty Greens. I'm a fan of them, but Old Town Brown is not their best work.
I mean, I don't drink this too much. It was just like, oh, this winter beer is a dollar cheaper than this other winter beer. Going with that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
No, Red Nose is good shit.
It's not terrible. I'm more down on Old Town Brown than Natty Greens.
My personal choice for beer when I like actually want to sit down is like, I don't like to be challenged by my beer, I guess. Because I'm just like, I'm going to get some fucking shandy ass bullshit that I can just fucking like just take a slug of it and be fine.
Slam.
Of, like, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to drink like hard lemonade or shit like that. Like I have a little bit of taste, but just not that much.
So lagers? Mostly.
Yeah, like lagers and shandies and shit like that are my fucking jam.
I can't fault you there. I find myself, as I get older, I think it's like an old person thing. Because lagers don't give me as much heartburn as like ales do.
I absolutely can't stand anything that's very hoppy. Like, it just, like, that just tastes nasty. Is what it is to me.
I am drinking a 21st Amendment Fireside Chat Winter Spiced Ale.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It's got FDR on the can. So you know it's good.
I live in Germany. I basically drank a bunch of dark wheat beer, which is like drinking a loaf of bread.
It sure is. Doppelbox and such.
If you want to go to Germany and you want to fucking time travel while you're there, get Konnaluwe the Second Dark.
Okay.
You will fucking wake up the next morning and be like, oh, it's morning. When did that happen? There was only two times in Germany where I time traveled. One of them was with that. The other one was with Polish bison grass vodka, which you can't get in the U.S. because bison grass is poison.
Oh, sounds real great. Should I get in? Do you want to take another crack at that, Joe? About saying I know a bit about geology?
Don't you, Brad? Aren't you like the geology expert on this podcast?
Geography, not geology.
I knew you were my favorite for a reason,
John. Oh, we love you, Brad. Yeah, just Josh.
Thank you.
Tell us about the geographic features of Rocky IV.
I don't think anybody has mentioned this on the podcast before, but I am a geographer by trade.
And a human fuck machine by reputation.
And a human fuck machine by reputation. Yes. I am a Sibian walking. No. Yeah, Joe and his brother and their friends and what I would call my friends, if they didn't make this joke, frequently call me a geologist, which I really appreciate because I'd be making a lot fucking more money if I was a geologist, but I do it for the love of the game. I'm a geographer. And there are some problems with this movie because it was shot in Montana and not Russia. So we get out into this rickety-ass cabin in what is supposed to be, I assume, Siberia, or at least the Russian countryside. And you have the Front Range in the background, so that's cool.
They filmed in Vancouver, and I'm surprised they resisted the urge to just put the fucking lions in the background.
Yeah, well, they also filmed it in Montana, which is why you see, like, the Front Range. There are no mountains that just immediately pop up. The Urals don't do that in Russia, and Siberia certainly fucking doesn't have, like, a giant-ass plain like in Montana. It's a lot more trees. Yeah, it's definitely shot in America. You can tell that. I think probably, like, the airport scenes and the arena scene were shot in Vancouver. I don't know what they shot in Vancouver, but anyways.
Let's see. IMDb says, let's see here. The airport scenes were shot in Los Angeles.
What?
Yeah.
With all that, I guess it's fake snow.
Had to be fake. And, yeah, okay. Rocky's arrival to Russia was filmed in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But what about the cabin?
Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
That was in Wyoming, not Montana. You were just confusing flat bullshit states.
Yeah, they're all kind of the same.
Yeah, those square states.
Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
All right. No, I'm apologizing to the people that live in those states.
Oh, I'm from there. Fuck those guys.
Wait, you're really from Wyoming or Montana?
No, I'm from one of those bullshit square states.
Oh,
though. Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. I got it out of my system. We're good.
Hey, Middle America, go fucking pound sand.
Yeah, you guys really did it, huh? You really fucking did it last year, huh? Good job. Look at what we have. Look at the mess we have to deal with. I'd rub your face in it if I could. Anyways, sorry, I got a little on edge there.
How about
talk about boxing?
Yeah, those training montages,
and then there's the fucking fight at the end where. Yeah, it's kind of a reverse of the, because it's basically Ivan comes out in the ring and there's a huge fucking banner with his portrait on it with the hammer and sickle and the Russian national anthem, and then Rocky comes out and just gets fucking booed. And then, again, if this was a better movie, it would just be these two just fucking beating the shit out of each other for 20 minutes, you know? Like, they need, like, just punch for punch, just like we are trying to literally murder each other. But instead, because it's a fucking Rocky sequel, it's just Rocky gets beat the shit out of him for 30 minutes until someone cheers, and then he wins.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, like, the Rocky franchise is basically a cartoon, and, like, if Rocky gets hit too many times, he, like, hulks out and becomes a super machine.
So, it's been a long time since I've seen the original Rocky, and I'm sure, hopefully, the modern sequels do this a little bit better, and I've probably watched too much anime.
Okay.
But the whole of this fight scene is just incredibly anticlimactic and doesn't really have, like, a point where, like, Rocky's, like, down on the fucking floor and, like, about to lose it and then, like, turns it around. Like, no, it's just a fucking montage of two dudes beating the shit out of each other for, like, 10 minutes, and it kind of sucks.
I mean,
and is anticlimactic.
I think it's trying to be, like, some, like, fucking, like, Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope shit, but instead it just comes up as Rocky just gets hit until he gets mad, and then he hits the other guy back, and then he wins.
Right, because there's that one point where, like, Rocky finally gets in that one good shot, and he cuts, you know, Drago's eye, and then that, like, breaks Drago's, like, entire concentration and like, his entire character, basically, and it just becomes, like, blow for blow, back and forth for 10 minutes.
That's good, but it should have been more, like, turnaround than that, you know?
Yeah.
Or it should have just been straight up, they were just beating the shit out of each other, like, going blow for blow for 20 minutes, and then eventually Rocky was just a stronger guy.
Yeah. But like, also... Because, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Again, going back to Sanders' workshop, if you're going to make this a better movie, like, Rocky's motivation is basically half of revenge for Apollo, but also half, like... proving that, like, he's not just a fucking celebrity, though. Like, he's not a champ. He is a boxer. Like, that's his identity, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and regardless of whether he has the fucking belt or not, because he willingly gave it up to go fight Drago, he's still a fucking boxer. And then at the same time, Drago is basically fighting for pretty much autonomy. Because if he wins, then, like, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. He doesn't have to be a goddamn, like, rut or, like, a fucking, like, show horse anymore. He can, like, defect pretty much.
Steroid pony.
Yeah, during the training montage, they did work in a scene of Drago just getting shot the fuck up with a needle.
Yup.
they tease the fuck out of that shot too, because they keep cutting to the needle, and then the needle getting the steroids in the needle, and then them prepping the needle, and then all, and then finally just bam, right in his fucking chest. It's if you're not a fan of needles, this is not a good shot here.
Yeah.
But also, we should mention that the other reason we're talking about this film is that this final climactic fight scene takes place on Christmas Day.
Yes.
Which I think is just some shorthand for those fucking godless commies don't even know what Christmas is.
Yeah.
I think that's literally why it takes place on Christmas.
Let them know it's Christmas time.
Which, God, I fucking hate that. Like, there are a lot of jokes in Grand Theft Auto Vice City that are just, like, nail fucking meathead, you know, hammerhead.
Yeah.
But, like, one of the jokes that gets more, like, just ignored, like, gets mentioned a couple times in the game, but in the Grand Theft Auto Vice City universe, do they know it's Christmas instead? Do they know it's the 4th of July?
That's
this movie.
That's pretty much it. Do the Russians know it's the 4th of July? I mean, I'm sure they know, but they don't care.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
It's like, do a bunch of people who aren't fucking Christians know that it's Christmas? Gee, I don't know.
Do you boys know any Independence Day of any other country on this entire planet? Like, literally, do you know?
I think Germany, the Reunification Day is October 3rd.
Okay, fine. You win.
But again, that's literally because I lived there. I mean, I wouldn't just know that off the top of my head if I had not had fucking been there. So
yeah, I know Asuncion is sometime. No, wait, that's a Catholic thing. Never mind.
Isn't Canada Day July 1st? Is that their Independence Day?
I want to say it's either late June or early July.
But I mean,
because I've been up there on Canada.
Canada Day is July 1st.
But is that their Independence Day?
Essentially, I think.
Okay.
That's awesome. Yeah, I typed Canada Day into Google, and half the image results are fireworks, so.
You know what? Good enough.
It's the day the British said, you're on your own.
Fuck off. We don't need you.
I have to wonder if the Revolutionary War didn't happen at some point, just like Canada, Britain would say, eh, fuck it. And just let us, cut us loose. I don't know. Interesting thought.
Yeah, that would be a fun thought exercise. Like, what if the American Revolution had happened 100 years later?
Britain's just like, okay, if you guys stop fucking talking to us about tea, we'll let you be your own country.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys are way too big. You guys are much bigger than us now. We're kind of afraid of you. We're just going to let you guys go. You can do your own thing now.
Yeah. And if Canada's any indication, we might have been better off for it. No, I don't know. Whatever.
Perhaps.
So, anyways.
I'm not sure what else to say about the end of this movie, because basically Rocky finally just clocks Drago's gourd open in the 15th round.
After the Russian, like, the crowd of, like, Russian dignitaries, let's be clear, these aren't just, like, random assholes who get into this. This is, like, the fucking, like, movers and shakers of the Russian political party.
Right, this is
the Politburo. This.
Yeah, yeah, this is the hierarchy of the Russian.
But then we have all these other people, the proles, if you will, or the proletariat, which are watching this, and they start cheering for Rocky, which is kind
of
like,
no,
the
what
big
I'm saying
turning.
What I'm saying is the proles wouldn't be allowed in that fucking thing. That is a state event.
Yeah, okay,
like,
fine.
What I'm saying is that's the fucking people who are like, you know what, I don't care if the secret police kill me anymore. Those are the people who are fucking cheering for Rocky.
Okay. Yeah, because the turning point of this movie, you could argue, or at least during this fight scene, is when the common person or the general crowd's mood,
the
they're all booing.
That.
Yeah, yeah, the peanut gallery is booing Rocky at the very beginning, and the commentator's like, I've never seen anything like this in 40 years of sports. It's such a mean crowd. And then they start cheering for Rocky, which is gross and trite and who gives a shit, but it's fun, I guess. I don't know.
Like I said, it's basically a cartoon.
Yeah, this whole movie is a fucking cartoon. And they start cheering for Rocky, and that's kind of what turns it around more than anything. And Rocky references this after he wins, where he's like, yeah, I thought you were all the fucking worst when I started, and you thought I was the fucking worst, but then you started cheering for me, and like, then I started liking you, so...
The scenes where he thought they were the fucking worst weren't in the movie, though. Like, they're like, it's just, there's that, that's kind of out of nowhere, really.
He's like, oh, I hated you because you're Russia. And then you hated me because I'm America. But if I can change, and you could change.
Everyone can change.
Blah. It's the eye of the tiger. It's the will of the fight.
And then fake Gorbachev stands up and claps for Rocky.
Yeah.
And then,
there we go.
And here you go. That's Rocky IV. And then
that's the movie.
It's not Eye of the Tiger that plays, but we get basically
Hearts on Fire.
Hearts on Fire. Yeah, it's like a sequel song to Survivor's Rocky III song.
Okay. Yeah, there's
basically
that.
If you played Saints Row 3, like the entire soundtrack to this movie is in Saints Row 3 on one of the radio stations.
Okay, yeah.
So during the middle of the movie, during the montage when the plane is landing, isn't there like a sequel to the Eye of the Tiger, but it's just replacing the lyrics where it's like East versus West?
Yeah,
what will happen?
It's called Burning Heart. Burning Heart.
Okay.
I think. Or Man Against the World. I don't know. Survivor's got a bunch of songs on the soundtrack.
Okay.
It's one of those songs.
Anyways. It's very, very clear that this
it's basically
every single song in this movie is a sequel to The Eye of the Tiger.
It's basically
like the songs
just
are like literally describing what happens in the movie. It's that song.
Yeah.
I miss the days when we got those in every movie. Oh man.
Just describing what's happening during the montage.
Yeah, pretty much. Or just describing the plot of the movie up to this point.
Mm.
Oh boy.
Goonies are good enough.
Gotta go back in time.
All right, yes.
Well, that's Rocky IV, everybody. It's a slam bang dumbass good time, I guess, if you like Rocky movies.
And I just want to stress out, this movie pissed me the fuck off because there's so much room for goddamn like nuance and subtlety in the, especially with like Rocky and Drago's relationships to not only each other but to their fucking careers and their countries, you know.
Yeah.
But instead, it's just like, no, this is just some Jingle Whistler bullshit. You know?
No, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm with you on that, John. It's
the plot.
It's not good.
The plot is basically two boxing matches bookending like a handful of music videos, and it's just, I mean,
I can say, sorry.
I just want to say that it bears repeating as many times as possible. This movie is 90 minutes long. Probably an hour of it is either music videos where the song is sung in its entirety or montages. Even with a montage that is like a flashbacks to scenes 20 minutes ago in the movie.
Let me just say, thank goodness this movie is 90 minutes long. I cannot fault it for that. I am so sick of long movies. I cannot begin to express.
When I keep
fucking
when I keep probably being 90 minutes long, what I more mean is, there's an hour of fucking music videos, and it's still only 90 minutes long. Like, there's literally 30 minutes of plot in this fucking movie.
That may be, but I appreciate this movie wrapping it up in an hour and a half. Because when is the last time that you've gone to see a movie in theaters that is less than 2 hours long? Name it.
So I just saw the new Star Wars movie.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm referring to, because isn't it 2.5 hours long?
It's pushing 3 hours, yeah.
Jesus.
Should I see it tonight, or no?
I enjoyed it. It pisses a lot of people off, but I liked that. John?
I've noticed that a lot of people get pissed off by it, are usually pissed off at it for the wrong reason, and it's because they're like dire fucking assholes.
I don't think anybody's pissed off at it for being 2.5 hours long. Like, it's whatever, but just like, oh, all movies have this problem nowadays. Yeah. It's just like, get on with
it. It's this weird thing where it's like, now tickets are like $30 per person, so it's like, well, we gotta make people think it's worth it, so let's make the movie 9 hours long.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, basically.
I don't know.
But yeah, if you feel like enjoying Rocky IV tonight, or whenever you're catching up on this, it is available on Hulu, it's available on Amazon Prime. Yeah, go get it. So hey, how about that crankometer, where we score this film on our patented crankometer.
First,
Christmas
I
want to
do a little script writing exercise with Brad.
Okay.
Yes.
Brad, we're going to have a conversation, okay, Brad?
Okay, I'm ready.
Hi, Brad. How you doing, Brad?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Brad. Hey, Brad. What you been doing today?
I watched Rocky IV, and I played a bunch of Splatoon, and I wrapped some presents. Why?
Okay, Brad's not taking the bait.
What am I supposed to say?
Did you see what I was doing?
Yeah, John, I see exactly what you were doing, John.
Exactly. That's how this fucking movie is written, especially when Rocky and Apollo are talking. They have to fucking say each other's names. They're not even each other's names. No, it's Apollo and Stallion. But, like, they can't just talk. They have to constantly call each other by name or nickname throughout the fucking movie, so you know who they're talking to.
See, I'm talking like a normal human.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, Paulo.
But, God.
John, I wrap presents today, John.
Brad, thank you, Brad. Yeah, I mean, just to add to, like, the shit cake of everything else in the movie, just the dialogue was just not only badly written like that, but it was kind of almost felt like Stallone was just kind of, like, writing a stream of consciousness, be like, hey, that's a fucking crazy-ass robot over here. And you get the idea that that was actually the line in the movie, not just a fucking ad-lib.
Boy, you really move good for an older guy with a smooth jazz soundtrack playing. So the first 5 minutes of this movie, aside from the fight scene that apparently was at the end of Rocky III, if you had done, like, some TV on the radio bullshit, I would have thought that I was maybe tuning into the beginning of a porn movie.
Oh, God.
Boy, you really move good for an older guy. You're not so bad yourself.
We'll just dip into my pool.
Anyways. Hey, buddy, I think you got the wrong place. The Leather Club is two blocks down. Have you guys seen that video?
No.
I kind of want to put it in the show notes too, because it's one of my favorite videos on YouTube. All right. I will send it to you, yeah, to put it in the show notes.
Hit me with it.
Okay.
So hey, yeah, we got to get moving. Crankometer time, boyos.
Okay.
On our Christmas axis, where, you know, our Christmas crankometer meter.
We have to do both. Actually, we have to do the crankometer and the yankometer.
Oh crap! You're right. Yeah. So
the yankometer.
Yes,
the yankometer is what we did for when we watched Independence Day. We replaced the Christmas axis with jingoism.
Yankeeism. Okay, got it. Yes. Yeah, got
so
it.
So on our crankometer, the X axis stands for how Christmassy the film is. How Christmassy is Rocky IV?
-3.
There is exactly one scene where the robot gets dressed up like Santa.
Yeah, the robot has a beard at the end.
I want to say that, like, it is Christmassy in an insidious way, or it uses Christmas in an insidious way, because, like, the reason Christmas matters is because it's that fucking, like, twist the knife of, yeah, those fucking commies don't even know it's Christmas and they want a fucking box.
Right.
So -4 then, probably? Or even negative... It didn't we save -5s for insidious Christmas use, like Christmas shoes?
Yeah, like, but this movie didn't beat you over the head with Jesus, which is why I don't want to give it too poorly.
So -3?
-3, because, like, it wasn't really Christmassy, and, like, that's kind of an afterthought, but it does use Christmas in a shitty way.
Yeah, and absolutely this movie did not have to take place at Christmas at all. It was absolutely tangential to the plot.
No, if anything, yeah. it could have taken place on the 4th of July, and it would have meant the exact same thing.
It probably would have worked better if it was on the 4th of July, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, to repeat it, like, the only reason for it to be on Christmas is just to be like, those fucking commies don't know it's Christmas.
But, you know, I think it would have even worked better as a film, especially with what it was aiming to achieve, if it took place on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Where it was like, the Russians are like, yeah, we want it on the 4th of July so we can humiliate you motherfuckers on your national holiday.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
So, that's a thought. So, yeah, absolutely, like, a -3 or -4.
We are writing a better movie than Stallone, and Stallone has an Oscar. Why don't we have a fucking Oscar yet?
Come at us. Get at us.
Come at us, Sly Stallone. We're waiting for you.
The fact that Oscars are fucking bullshit, but still. It's a fucking bullshit gold statue I'd like to have and melt down for cash.
Well, you can probably sell it for more than just the gold value.
Sell it to Max Landis. Maybe he'll go the fuck away and never come back.
I want to sell mine to Leica, because they actually deserve an Oscar. Anyways.
Anywho, so -3, is that what we said?
Yeah.
-3.
All right. And then the y-axis, which is how good of a film this is, I'm going
to
say...
Or at least how fun it is to watch.
How entertaining it is. How entertaining of a film it is. I would, I don't know, put this maybe at a solid 0. Because on the one hand, I didn't hate the film, but at the same time, it's
fun to shit on.
Yeah, like it's watchable. Yeah. It's watchable crap, you know?
And good God, it gained like a point or two for only being 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
Because how like, much would this movie wear out its goodwill if it was like 2.5 hours long?
Oh, yeah. If there was a solid hour in the middle between those two fight scenes of just people talking about fighting, it would have been... Forget it. Yeah.
Yeah. All of my anger at this movie for being like so close to having a good point, but just fucking missing by... like so close but still managing to miss by so far is just awesome. The fact that it was 90 fucking minutes. I literally played a fucking like free to play mobile game and used my infinite lives that entire time while I watched this movie. Like, I was like, Merry Christmas, here's an hour of infinite lives. Oh, cool, I got something to do for this fucking movie.
Nice. What are you playing, John?
Fucking Gardenscapes.
Wait, what?
Gardenscapes.
Oh, I've been playing Puzzle Fighter.
It's a fucking match 3 game where, like, when you do puzzles, you fix up the garden at this old dilapidated mansion.
Oh, yeah, I know that one. You should play Puzzle Fighter instead. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. All right, so hey, on our crankometer meter, this ranks a -3.0. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. That, yeah.
And then we have to score it on our Yankometer, which is for films that we review at July at Christmas. Such
Welcome to Earth.
As Independence Day, we did 2 years ago.
Where did we give Independence Day, by the way?
I don't know, but I can look it up for you real quick.
Which, to kind of clarify, last year the plan was originally to do Independence Day 2, but like no one should watch that fucking movie.
Yeah, no one should ever have to watch it again.
Can we watch Men in Black instead?
Yeah, okay. I'm down with that. I'm
not going to make it a secret. I actually really like the Men in Black series.
The Yankometer score was 4-2.
Oh, you beat me to
4-2.
And I think we did. It was how much jingoistic bullshit is this and how much fun was it to watch?
Okay.
Yeah.
2? Jingoist, maybe three.
I think it gains at least 1 point for that first shot in the movie of the two boxing gloves with the American and Soviet flags smashing into each other.
It's funny because when I watched it, I noticed that like, oh, the only glove exploding is the Russian glove.
So good. Okay, maybe even a 4. I don't know. Like, this is Cold War as hell.
This is hyper jingoistic garbage.
Maybe even a 5, I don't know. Like, it could only be more jingoistic if like the US Army had bankrolled this shit. Like, it's pretty bad. Like
if like Rocky had been rescued at the end of the film by the Wolverines from Red Dawn.
the Marines fucking rappel into the stadium, shoot everybody, and just fucking extract Rocky, Adrian, and fucking the other two.
Like Rocky doesn't want to go because he's making his big speech, but then like the biggest Marine just punches him out cold and just like drags him over his shoulder.
Or if like Drago like has a change of heart and rips off his trunks and has American trunks on under them and just punches the Gorbachev standing to death himself.
Today we are American.
And then like he tries to like give an American salute, but he does like the Hawaiian hang ten sign instead.
He literally does the sideways thumbs up from fucking Street Fighter that
Yes. Like Drago is basically Zangief's kid. let's not mince here.
I think a 4 is pretty fair because this is jingoistic as hell.
Oh yeah, on both sides, you know.
Oh, it's so bad.
I mean, it obviously falls more American because it's an American movie, but still, like this, there's so much Soviet iconography just shoved in your face, just to make them look like villains, you know?
Yeah, because like,
yeah, no, that's the thing.
Yeah, it not only does it prop up America as like this fucking unstoppable force for good, but like it's like, well, we need to make sure these guys are really evil for us to fucking waste our time on them, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, it just as much shits on the Soviets as it glorifies the Americans. So,
oh yeah,
I think a 4 is fair.
And so on the y-axis, how much fun was this to watch? Do we still put this at a 0 or?
Yeah, let's just say 0. We already saw that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So on our crankometer, this scores a -3.0, and on our yankometer, it scores a +4.0. Oh, that's Rocky 4, everybody.
Well, that's a movie.
Happy Boxing Day. So I think we have, let's see here, one last bit of business to take care of before we close out the year.
We got a letter.
We got some letter. Actually, just the one letter, but it's a fun letter. I'll read it out here. It's from a listener named Jacob. Hi, Jacob, if you're still listening. He sent this to us about 3 weeks ago. He says, Dear Christmas Creeps team, first of all, let me sincerely thank you for what I consider the funniest podcast on my listening list. And believe me, there are a lot of items on it. Well, that's... Oh, thank you. I just discovered it around Thanksgiving, and I've been hooked ever since. I'm binge listening to all the previous episodes. Now I have about 10 left. Oof, if you're getting into the single-digit episodes, our apologies. And the alcohol-fueled vitriol...
Single episodes have Karen on them.
They do, but I mean... I feel like we've gotten better over time.
I will twist Karen's arm more to be on the podcast in the second coming year. That's my New Year's resolution.
At least once would be nice. I just like to know that she's still around.
Yeah, she was planning on watching this with me, but there was a fucking family Christmas party last night, and
there's
not enough benzos in the world to make a fucking Christmas family party tolerable. I'll just say that.
Gotcha. Anyway, he continues. I'm binge listening to all previous episodes. Now I have about 10 left, and the alcohol fueled vitriol you shove up the ass of some of the really horrible movies, Hello Luther Crank, is just priceless. I'm a student in the Czech Republic, so you have an international audience. That's amazing.
I've
been kind of down lately, he says. A few things managed to make me laugh as hard as the episodes where the movie is so bad you will do everything to avoid actually talking about it.
Some more video game chat, then.
So Jacob wants more video game chat. And also he recommends that next year we watch a movie called Santa's Sleigh, which stars WWE star Bill Goldberg as a killer Santa Claus. I'm definitely down for that.
WWE star Danny DeVito.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we'll definitely put Santa's Sleigh on our priorities list for the coming year, Jacob. Thanks so much for your letter.
Thank you. It really means a lot. I have a lot of podcasts that I love, and I don't know that I've ever taken the time out to write to them personally. So to have you write to us just means a lot. Thank you so much.
It means if you can change and I can change, then we can all change.
It really makes it worth it all to know that somebody is out there listening and enjoying these somehow.
I mean, while I do live shouting into the void, it is nice every once in a while when the void shouts back.
Correct. So thank you.
The void really shouted back, and his name is Jacob.
Yes.
Oh man, I'm sorry. But yeah, thank you for your letter.
Look at my clock. If we just talked about video games for 20 minutes, we would have a podcast longer than the movie we watched.
Let's please not do that, because I know certain other listeners are not fans of video game chat.
I don't like those listeners.
But if you'd like to send us a letter, we'll definitely read it on the air. Our email address is xmascreeps@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at @ChristmasCreeps. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ChristmasCreeps. And hey, you know what? We are also on iTunes and Stitcher and wherever you download podcasts. We're not on SoundCloud or any of that stuff, but pretty much wherever you get your podcasts, get us, download us there, subscribe to us, and hey, you know what? While you're at it, leave us a star rating and a review. That will let other people know that this is a show worth listening to. So I think that's going to close out 2017 for us here at Christmas Creeps. John, Brad, any parting words?
I'll just say I am totally 100% willing to play favors with listeners. The people who like video game chat are my favorite listeners. Everyone else can go to hell.
I'm going to agree with John, and I'm going to say that 2017, somehow, some way, we made it, everybody.
We're going to pivot to video games in 2018.
Thank you for listening. We are going to transition to being the number 157th video game podcast.
No, we're transferring format to video games. We're only going to record on like in-game chat in Counter-Strike from now on. Like if you want to listen to the podcast, you got to join our server.
Welcome to Christmas Creeps. This is the number 57th CS:GO podcast in the world. No, seriously. Get at us if you want to.
Come at me, bro.
If you want to play games with us, like, let us know. We'd love to play Rocket League with you all sometime. But more importantly than that, Happy New Year, everybody. I hope you had a great Christmas. If you choose to celebrate Christmas. If not, that's cool, too. Happy New Year. We made it, everybody, somehow.
And I would just like to have a special message to any of our listeners who work for Sony. Stop being fucking commies and let crossplay happen with the other platforms. Bitch, I don't want to have to rebuy the fucking game again.
Yeah,
that's true. All right, well, for Christmas Creeps, I'm Joseph Wade.
I'm Bradford.
I am Johnny Five, the Ivan Drago.
And we must break you.
Happy Christmas! Happy Christmas! Happy Christmas!
I thought we were going to do a lot more Russian accents in this podcast, but we really made it through without doing too much.
Yeah, helloski. I am how you say Russian Gajovich.
How could this happen?
I hear someone building diaper changing station.
Soviet Russia, beer drinks you.